GFW Radio is brought to you by Ubisoft's Jam Sessions. Transform your DS into a portable guitar and become an instant rock star. Strum the guitar via the touchscreen and select chords with the control panel. You can create and save your own music or learn how to play with advanced tutorials. Jam Sessions is a must-have for music lovers and DS owners. Available now.
Hello and welcome to GFW Radio. This is the podcast for September 18th. 2007. Before we go any further, Ryan, are you done with your ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. We're all sitting here waiting for him to stop chewing so we could podcast. And thanks for bringing stuff down for us,
yeah,
by the way.
Really consider it.
You could have brought four sundaes for us.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell's right? We're here down at Studio B, as it were, as we now call it. B for...
Bastages?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no joke there. But we have the regular studio up on our floor now where we're all happy and we like life. And then we have the studio here where we're unhappy and hate life. So if you
it's all in the room.
Perceive any extra negativity this week, it's because we're in the shithole studio.
You can blame the one up yours guys for taking all our equipment to Japan.
Oh, that's true. It's all one up yours' fault. Fuck you guys. Yeah, because they're all in Tokyo. Ooh, fancy. We get to go to Tokyo and cover a Tokyo game show.
Please note that this studio is actually much nicer than the one we usually record in.
Well, it is, but it's not our studio.
No, it's just not home. That's
so it's not home, right. The other one may be crap, but it's our crappy home.
Doesn't have soundproof walls.
Yeah, that's true. This has all the accoutrements, but it lacks the soul, you know? It lacks what makes us us. But I don't know what that is. All right, anyway... we're here with most of the regulars. Say who you are.
Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
Sean Malloy.
And Mr. Elliot is up at Valve, is he not?
He is.
Yes, he is.
He's
It's no secret, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, he's up there playing Orange Box right now, so...
Man, I cannot wait.
Yeah, no, I can't wait either. I liked Episode 1 better than Half-Life 2, so... And Mr. Gladstone, you've been playing a lot of TF2. I heard you over there yelling today.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, first of all, I got to say, anyone who's pre-ordered it and has it now, if you look in your not installed list, you can actually download TF2 right now and get in on the beta. So it's totally worth just checking out.
So it's an open beta?
It's open beta. As long as if you pre-ordered or if you have it or it's just it's sitting there waiting for you. My big fear when I started playing it was, okay, I figured I'm going to get my ass kicked so hard by all these guys who've been playing it forever. Get in now. That's all I got to say, because it's actually pretty well balanced. Guys aren't too hardcore yet, and it's just, man, I can't even go into... Maybe I should start by class. Mm-hmm. How much fun is it? I spent a couple matches playing as each class, and like by far the spy is the funniest.
Mm-hmm.
So
The funnest?
Fun and... Well, it all depends, because the way it's broken out by whether you want to take a defensive role, an offensive role, or a support role... It's all just a matter of how you want to play it, but I had a lot of fun playing as the spy. I sucked at it, and I got to work on it. But, the disguises they work. I mean, like it's not as I miss being able to feign death.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys played TF1, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. I really miss being able to feign death, but mm-hmm. being able to walk around and just clone and look like one of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, to your teammates, I mean, the art style really does sell the whole thing. So like mm-hmm. to your teammates, the spy looks like he has like a. Loose leaf notebook page with a picture of the character he's playing taped mm-hmm. to his face.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just,
but the other side sees you as one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think like some basic. So I played.
So you're buying into the whole art style of this thing?
The art style really does sound. I mean, like you could see guys across. You could tell from the outline across the map who they are, what their characters are, so you can kind of prepare. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of environmental cues, so you can know what's going on. Like you see a red dot on a wall. There's a sniper. Aiming at you across the map,
mm-hmm.
and I should preface this by saying that it's been a long, long time since I played TF.
Mm-hmm.
I avoided TF forever, and I guess because I felt so out of the loop, mm-hmm. I got my ass kicked in every match I walked into. Mm-hmm. So now I'm playing this. It's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, that won't last. So you'll start getting your ass kicked soon enough.
I'm expecting that.
They'll all be great.
The fun wasn't going to last.
Oh, the fun? Yeah, maybe the fun
never stops.
The fun never stops at Team Fortress 2.
Hey, when we're talking about Team Fortress 2, I'd just like to point out that the beta went live at 11:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time last night.
Okay.
And I already saw full reviews on certain sites online when I walked in at 9:30 a.m. this morning. So.
What are you saying, Ryan?
Funny how that works.
So you know,
isn't
if
it?
You want to see how good TF2 is, you know, just do some research on the internet.
Okay.
But then again, some.
What are you implying? Are you implying less than professional reviews?
Just letting people know that there are reviews out.
Well, there are reviews in a number of places already. Uh-huh. Well, that's always. I mean, we kind of talked about this before. I mean, actually, we talked about it a lot before,
and just last week. In fact.
Yeah, exactly.
As a matter of fact,
let's keep talking about it every week.
No.
Our point: all reviews suck, but ours.
It's a valid point, Jeff.
Here, here.
But yeah,
there have been reviews,
and you know, if the game is great, then they're right, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Guess so.
Can't argue with that.
Well, I'm looking forward to playing it. I really can't wait.
I can't wait either. Yeah, and I'm one of the ones who didn't play Team Fortress at all.
Uh-huh.
And like ever since my little Valve trip, when I played it for just like you know a couple hours, I've been like, oh, I got to get that game. Yeah. I don't know what it is because normally that kind of thing just doesn't have any appeal
so
to me whatsoever.
Cool.
Well, it's the Fong shading.
Yeah.
That makes it or breaks it. No, I got to tell you, I'm probably just going to keep playing the game as a support role the whole time. I find it's just so much fun doing that kind of stuff.
That's what I was doing when I was playing at Valve is I was medic, engineer, and that's just so much more my thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's just definitely, if you're just not, you know, if you're not the aggressive shooter type guy, I mean, you know, you'll just get your ass kicked anyway. You know, I mean, if you try to play it that way. So the support roles really can be great if you're just not inclined to want to
right.
do that.
It's fun to be behind the really good aggressive guy and go, I healed him the whole time and made that possible.
And you get points for that too, right? Obviously, you must.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously if you're playing a medic, you are kind of scored, quote unquote, differently than
right.
if you're a guy with a giant chain gun.
You know, now that I think about it, like, you know, as going as far back as Planetside, like, any game where there was a support role, I find myself doing that more and more often because, I don't know, I find it's, like, you know, contributing to a greater, a larger effort.
Mm-hmm.
That's very noble.
It's funny, I did a little panel talk at UC Berkeley yesterday with a couple guys, and one of the guys on there was one of the main developers from Planetside. He's actually at Cryptic now, working on Cryptic's next game, and I... Sorry, I just can't remember his name now, but he's a cool guy.
Is it Georgeson? Dave?
Dave, Steve, Joe, Tom, Larry.
Oh, you are awesome with names.
One of those, yeah.
Male name.
Anyway, a fine fellow, and he was talking a lot about Planetside, and it reminded me how great and ahead of its time that game was, you know. But he was saying that, I'm bringing this up because he was saying that, like, the ideas that Planetside had really are kind of only coming to fruition right now because it's kind of like the technology caught up with what PlanetSide was trying to do back then. You know, now with broadband, everybody can really play that way. You know, like the idea of a massive multiplayer FPS is something that actually can be done now, whereas back in that time, there were still like horrible server load issues mm-hmm. and things like that. And I know TF2 is a massive multiplayer, so these are kind of two different things.
But yeah, I felt
my point is moot. Therefore, I'm going to stop talking now.
Done with the horse of the show.
Ay, ay, ay.
And that is my book report.
Yeah. By Jeff Green. Now, the whole orange box thingy, well, I think we've been over this before, but I need to clarify it in my own mind. It's only a retail issue, right? If
the
I just go to Steam,
box, yes.
I could just buy Portal if that's all I wanted, or I could just buy Team Fortress 2.
Well, it all comes together.
Well, I mean, they've said
they're
going to have a variety of package options if you buy it
on
Steam. I don't know what those are, but it's going to be more than just...
I can't just go a la carte?
Maybe. I mean, I can't imagine them not letting you do it.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
It seems like you should be able to, but yeah, I don't know.
Because I still find the whole orange box concept a little bit annoying. Even though, I mean, the way I'll get it is by downloading it in the first place. I still am not buying into their whole, well, now you have a Half-Life 2 to give away to somebody thing. Because who has not played that at this point? I don't buy it. I wish they had kept a SKU that did not include that. option.
I can tell you people who haven't played it yet. There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think the price of the thing just isn't... It's why I'm not getting angry at it, because I'm just like, okay, so it's $50.
Yeah.
Price of a normal game, true. Plus you get...
No,
it's
I
not
know.
Like they're charging 80 or something for all three.
Yeah, I guess... I get that. I do. I just... maybe it's because I like already have three different copies of Half-Life 2.
That's
I find it annoying that I would have yet another one if I was buying the box. You know, stop giving me that game.
Are you going to buy the box?
Well,
or are you going to Steam it?
No, I think I'm going to Steam it. But partially because of that, though. What?
I'm just saying, I'm totally Steaming it from now on. I mean,
yeah.
I recently lost a whole pile of discs that I use for testing stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized, crap, that Steam would totally come in handy right about now.
Yeah.
Discs are to past.
They are to past.
And, I don't know, it makes the whole Orange Box thing makes more sense for consoles. And the fact that you get Half-Life 2 in there, because it's something that...
You know, actually, I'd heard... I don't know if this is true or not, but I'd heard that they up the textures for Half-Life 1. I mean, Half-Life 2, you know...
Well, yeah, I know it's got, like, HDR and stuff. So, and Sean was saying there's a couple... Like, I guess the Vortigaunts look a little better because their textures are increased. I'm not entirely sure what specifically they made better for the Xbox 360 version, mm-hmm. but there's some better stuff. So if you haven't played it before, you're going to get the...
It might be worth it.
Enhanced-ish version on console.
Okay.
I don't know if they did that for PC, too, though. Did they?
It's a patch, I believe.
Is it a patch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're always patching it, yeah.
Neato.
Yay. So it's still not out for reals, though, for a little while, right? A few weeks?
Early October.
October 2nd, I think, right? Something like that?
The 2nd or 7th.
Well, either way, it's going to be a really unproductive October for me.
I will be playing Half-Life 2 Episode 2. The second I get it in my hands, and will not stop till I'm done.
Is that a promise, Jeff Green?
I am telling you this now. And I mean
swear
it.
To our audience.
I swear.
And warning your wife.
Have you beat Bioshock yet?
I shall not eat until Episode 2 hath been beaten. What?
He was on a roll, man.
Sorry, I did method acting for a moment. I couldn't break that. Did you beat the Bioshock yet? Not to be
well, no, I haven't, but I'm so close. Are we well past the spoiler expiration date?
I would say we are not past the spoiler expiration date.
Okay.
If you haven't beat it, I think maybe other people.
Okay,
may not have. So
I'm very far. I believe I am at the end boss.
Okay,
let's say that.
You believe?
I believe I am.
Finish that, damn it!
Yeah, I'm trying, but actually, I'm distracted because I've been playing that on the 360. As I've admitted before on this podcast, to my utter shame. But every time I get on the 360 now, I'm actually distracted by the Call of Duty 4 multiplayer beta still.
Stop it.
Yeah. Which I have to say, because last time on this podcast, I kind of dissed it. And then I ended up blogging about it later because after you get over a certain hump at the beginning of Call of Duty 4, it really, at least for me, it really kind of... A switch flipped, and I really got into it, and I've been into it ever since.
It's a weird way to design if that's the reaction you had. Is like, I don't like it now, but then later you like it?
We're going to force you to put up some pain before you like it.
Well, in a way...
What happened?
In a way, if you think about it, it's kind of how an MMO works, right? I mean, you know, even if they throw you, you know, the early carrots in an MMO, level 1, 2, 3, I mean, it doesn't get really great until you start getting a really cool... powers and abilities.
Right.
And that's exactly how Call of Duty 4 works. I mean, they've designed the multiplayer essentially like an MMO.
So isn't this going to scare people away, I guess? Because, like, if you come into the game and all these people have these great powers and you don't yet, you don't necessarily realize that working up
right.
or how long it'll take to work up to those powers. I
right.
know, part of me goes like, oh, I don't want to work to...
Well,
it's third level. I don't think I ever could.
It's mostly a beta problem, I think. We talked about this a little. I was talking with Kathleen Sanders and Skip on the 1UP show about it, because it's mostly a problem of in the beta right now, they don't have there's matchmaking, but they don't have it all, you know, it's not complete yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have server restrictions yet. So right now, you can be a level 2 noob and end up in a match with the level 4. The current cap is 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sucks, yes, because you are, you know, this is a game where the more you play, the stronger you get, the more abilities you get, and just the easier it is to stay alive and to kill people. So obviously when you come into level one, it's like grossly unfair to you. So yes, it is intimidating and a bit of a drag when you first get in. But I think the assurance is that when the game is really live, when you go in as a noob, you'll only be playing against other noobs. So, you know, service will scale up. The matchmaking will scale up.
Okay, so you're leveling up as you're playing, and that level continues on between matches.
Yeah, you can level up during a match. You know, you'll see a thing. You've been promoted to staff sergeant as you play.
So like BF2, for example, where, like, you know, multiple games, multiple times, you just keep leveling up like you would in an MMO.
Right, and what's also awesome, too, is that you get multiple challenges, they call them, but they're essentially achievements. You know, they're exactly like an Xbox Live achievement, but built into the game for all sorts of different things. And you'll unlock more of those as you keep playing. So you hit a certain level, and you're playing a certain character class, and you'll hit some milestone where a new challenge will open up. And the challenge will be like, okay, get 30 kills with this gun. And then that will give you some other perk. And the perk might be a piece of camouflage or, you know, a red dot for your sight, different things. So they constantly give you incentives to not just be in the matches, but also to try certain character classes or certain weapons. Like, I've seen these guys walk around in this, like, awesome camouflage. You know, it's basically like a suit of leaves, you know. And it's like, God damn it, I'm level 16. How the hell do I get that? I'm, mm-hmm. like, already as high as I can go, and I don't know how to get it. So I search through the challenges, and sure enough, it was doing a certain activity. I think it was like 30 headshots or something. You will unlock that, the ability to equip that camouflage on yourself. So the cool thing there is, like, and I really haven't seen it in another shooter type game to this extent, where they're giving you constant individual goals as well as just the team, you know, the team goals or a specific matches goal.
That can be counterproductive, too, because...
I was thinking of Shadowrun right away.
Yeah, Shadowrun, I had that exact... And they were not even giving you necessarily anything in the game. They're just giving you the achievement, you know, for 100 heals or 1,000,000 heal points or whatever it was with the trees. But, like, there were games where people were just, like, putting up the trees everywhere, and I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to get my healing achievement.
Okay, like there's definitely some of that. There is. I mean, I don't think there's anything, at least so far, I haven't seen anything that seems debilitating to team play, except maybe for, like, excessive sniping, except mm-hmm. that's probably going to happen
it's
in any
happen
shooter,
anyway, right?
Right? I mean, there's guys who are just sniping all the time because that's all they fucking do because they're cowards, but I didn't say that. No, snipers are cool. You guys are great. Yeah, you just stay up there by the window for 2 hours, you fucking
campers.
Dude, what do you say? Yeah. Snipers are like the most badass guys because they're sitting in their little nooks. One shot.
Nothing pisses me off more in the kill cam than a sniper. Get out there and fight, you pansies.
I have friends who are like that, who they're like, I'm going to play the sniper, and I think they're just so badass, like the dude from, like, Enemy at the Gates or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone has the name Vasily.
Right.
I can imagine, like this guy sitting at his home, has his feet kicked up, one hand on the mouse, other hand with a beer in it, just going, oh, I'm playing a game.
I think it's fine to do it for a little bit, you know, in any particular match, but not the whole time. But that's the great thing about the kill cam.
Right.
So you get to see the guy and then go after
him. Kill cams are wonderful.
Yeah, they really are.
It's the best part is going after that guy, which, you know, petty, but I do it all the time.
That's revenge. It's petty.
And I sound like I'm dissing the whole thing, but I think it's actually, if this is really well implemented, like,
yeah,
I'm dying for something
so,
like that.
So far, it does really feel that way. I mean, it gave me, that's why I kept going back, because of the incentive to do more. I mean, and of course, you know, you get more points if your team wins. I mean, you know, there's the bragging rights of your team winning. So I don't think there's anything, like, I don't think the individual goals are counter to, you know, will detract from
the team goal. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, at least so far, at least what I've seen.
And it all, you know, it depends on individuals too, obviously.
Right. So. And last week I was also dissing a lot of the you know, just the fact of the, like, the horrid voice chat going on. And I figured out the big answer to that one. That didn't take me that long. Take the headphones off. So I actually have them plugged in, but, like, low on my neck. So I can sort of hear, but it's just sort of like background chatter. I just hear this little very tiny and tinny, like, you douche, you know. But
is there any way to, like, filter out, like, stuff so you can only hear your teammates at least, or?
Well, you do only hear your team.
Oh, great.
But
so
it's the team yelling at each other. Yeah.
Have you ever played? Okay, so you're playing a team game on Xbox Live. Have you ever playing with strangers?
Yes.
Actually done some sort of a coordinated team activity that didn't involve just one person telling everyone else what to do and no one listening?
Yeah, no.
Think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, not really.
Yeah, actually, I have.
You have?
You have?
And the strangest thing was actually in Shadowrun, of all things.
Huh.
It was actually relatively coordinated for about five matches, and then the guys that were good that were playing got tired of it and left.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just devolved into, res me.
It did happen occasionally in Shadowrun, too, but it's so rare.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily like, you know, complicated maneuvers.
I know.
I have the flag.
But
okay,
you know,
but I'm going to follow you then.
But
we cooperated.
But you take for granted how, like, basic communication skills could really help. Like, okay, I need someone to cover my back while I'm going down hallway.
When you're in an environment where you want to take off your headset, obviously that sort of thing isn't very
prevalent. I mean, you know, when you're just playing the game and people seem like they're pretty good at the game, and they are pretty good, and you're just, you know, watching the game and listening to the sounds of the game, it all seems like, wow, I'm playing with, like, 12 intelligent people, and we're all, like, doing this stuff. But then you put on the headphones, and it's like, what am I doing? Who are, like, how about if I come over there and kick your fucking ass, asshole?
I played with him the other day in Warhawk.
Who are you calling asshole? You're the asshole. I'll tell you what. You baby raper, whatever. One guy actually said these two guys were yelling at each other on my team, and they were, you know, one guy was going to kick the other guy's ass, and no, he was going to kill him, and blah blah blah. And then this, you know, and then to prove like he was the you know, the bigger man, he goes, I'll tell you what, I rape guys for a living. That's what I do. And I was like, you do?
How much does that pay?
Yeah. And then of course the response was, you rape animals for a living. So, you know, that's the level of discourse that you're dealing with on Xbox.
Is it salaried or hourly?
Mister, you are gay.
Yeah. Does the Xbox 360 have some sort of reporting mechanism that actually works?
I think you can.
Can you? I don't know.
You know what they need is some kind of like eBay-like system.
Reported!
Isn't that what those stars are?
Yeah, is that what that is? You're right.
Well,
yeah.
But they need to have it. They need to make it so that, like, when you get down to certain levels, like, it just eliminates, it bars you from certain features. Like, once you get down below a certain level, like, you cannot use your headset anymore.
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
That'd
I mean,
awesome.
If you're playing a multiplayer shooter, you know, and, I mean, that's, like, I wasn't surprised to hear that stuff, is what I'm saying.
If
you throw yourself into that mix of goons, of course that's what you're going to get.
It's not like we're talking about anything new here.
Right. This was not a gathering of the Mensa Society, you know, discussing the new, you know, Thomas Pynchon book.
Oh, how cool would that be? You're playing Call of Duty 4 multiplayer.
Yeah. So fuck you, I'll shoot you in the fucking face.
So let's talk about this new David Sedaris book.
Yeah. So from now on, that's me on Call of Duty 4. No headset. Yeah.
Let me see. Anyone playing the Hellgate beta? Just went up the other day.
I've sure been thinking about playing
I've been thinking of downloading the beta. It is kind of beta week. We're a little bit overwhelmed with betas.
Yeah.
We got that. We've got Universe at War.
Universe at War. Crisis coming out later this week.
Crisis. And wait, do we have not World in Conflict?
Enemy Territory Quake Wars demo.
You're thinking Universe at War.
Universe at War. I mix those two games up. I'm going to do that for forever.
How the hell are we supposed to get stories written?
It's the universe that's at war. Mm-hmm. The world is just in conflict.
It's a mere conflict.
All right. I need I need a mnemonic for that.
My very educated, whatever.
I guess that's the better game, huh? Universe at War. Because they trumped it. Game has a world in conflict.
That's just one world.
We have a universe at war.
It's also universe at war, colon, Earth assault.
Aha.
See?
Does world in conflict have a colon? Is that world in conflict something?
It's just world in conflict.
Oh, see, that game sucks. They blew it. I'm sorry. I got nothing.
We're firing on all cylinders today.
Hellgate, yeah.
Is this really the next Diablo?
Yeah.
It's, you know what? It's actually, it's got me thinking. Just speak. I'll get to that question in a second. It's not quite the next Diablo, but it is something. It is different enough for me to want to keep playing it. Forget the graphic horse shit. Okay,
I've been hearing mixed things.
So the DX10. Well, the thing is, like, people are probably basing this off of like the alpha, which I've been playing up until recently, and the alpha was just like low res textures, still kind of buggy, and you know, it's early.
Yeah.
It's not launching
until... It's not that early, though. How long have they been making
this game? Yeah, I know. It's not that early, but still, like, they're doing a lot of bug squashing, and...
Of course.
And it's not coming out until the next month. And, the different character classes play... The game feels very different depending on each one you play with. So, I've played as the hunters, like, first-person shooter style. And I've played as the summoners, and also the blade masters. So, I've gotten a good taste of each, and... I don't know. There's something about it. The thing about Diablo is that it was actually kind of simple to control, and it was just
you clicked on monsters.
You clicked on a monster, and that was
exploded.
It. I wonder if enough people might, because there's a lot more things to tweak and modify, and it's a lot more it's not MMO-ish, but it's definitely it's a lot more complex than a Diablo was back in the day. Do you think that might kind of be more of a barrier of entry for someone who hadn't considered playing before?
I don't know.
Because that was half the appeal of the Diablo games, was that it was just so brainlessly simple.
Right. I mean, if you don't know, Hellgate, the team making Hellgate, actually was the exact team that made Diablo 1 and 2. Most of the guys from Flagship Studios are refugees of Blizzard North, which was the company that made that. So this is, for all intents and purposes, the next game from the people who made Diablo. So
yeah, the one thing I will say is that it's not, I mean, don't make any mistakes and think this is a first person shooter. It really isn't.
Well, yeah, I was watching you playing the first person shooter thing, and it certainly didn't, like, the speed just wasn't like the kind you'd expect from a first person shooter. There wasn't, you know, people aren't ducking behind cover or anything, and at least what I saw you playing against was lumbering monsters.
Well, yeah, it was funny, like basically these giant, like, it's like demonic, you know, Purdue chickens or something. They just kind of like roll down the street and wait
demonic
for you to
chickens.
Exactly, pluck chickens. It looks like, you know, it looks like the you're about to go to KFC. Evil KFC chickens coming at you.
I guess that'd be.
I mean, it was definitely a step above
frogs.
You know, flesh World of Warcraft monsters and their behavior, which is just like, I have aggro on you, so I am next to you now.
Well, you know, actually, it's kind of funny. The blood zombies in the beginning of Hellgate have a lot in common with the Italians at the beginning of Medal of Honor Airborne.
What are you saying about our Italian brethren?
I'm married to an Italian. I can say it. No, but they just like race at you. They don't even try to like go zigzag or anything. They just beeline straight at you. If you throw anything in your in their path, you're okay. So I mean, it's very basic so far. But then again, it is early on in the game.
Well, so again, was it Diablo?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Skeletons came at you, and you blew them up before they took away all of your hit points.
I'm ready for Diablo 3, frankly.
Yeah?
They've had long enough. They need to get on that.
Wasn't that called Titan Quest?
Titan Quest was awesome.
That's a good point.
I like Titan Quest a lot. In fact, I'm ready for those guys to do more.
Where's Titan Quest 2? Bring it.
Well, that game didn't do well here, did it?
Did it?
Titan Quest did a lot better in Europa, than it did here. So I think that
those games are still selling really well, like, you know, Sacred and all that stuff. Those do a lot better in Europe, too, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the story is there. Maybe because in Europe, you know, like, these games actually, I mean, this stuff really happened in Europe back in the day. You know.
Zombies.
The monsters
people
attacking
really
the fortresses.
Killed skeletons.
Yeah. Haven't you seen those old movies? That didn't happen. Those, you know.
Hey, Army of Darkness took place in Europe.
That's what I'm saying.
That was for real.
By the time we, you know, they came over to the New World here, that's part of the reason they left the New World. And,
to get
you know, if there's
the
kids
monsters.
Listening to this and, you know, you spend a lot more of your time playing video games than you do paying attention in school, you should pay attention now because this is the educational part of our podcast. When our forefathers came over to the New World in the early 1600s or mid-1600s, a lot of it was to get away. From the, you know...
The persecution from zombies and vampires.
Right, the
skeletons
that had poison, you know, poison gas and stuff like that.
And scorpions. There were lots of scorpions.
And scorpions.
Undead Scourge.
Yeah.
Dark Chapter.
So really, you know, that's why you don't see that many games of that kind doing so well.
You should have kept going, man.
I can't.
Kept that going for way longer than I thought.
Yeah, I know.
Man, there's we're going to get you some concerned parents going to write in.
Dear Jeff.
Little Timmy just failed.
Let me mail you my son's report card.
Oh, man. But, you know, actually, one other thing got me, while I was playing Hellgate, got me thinking about something else. How many times do you guys play an RPG or an MMO or whatever, and you go up to some guy and you have a quest, and you don't even bother reading the story elements or the dialogue that they go to so much trouble to write, and you're just like, okay. Sure.
Every single time I've ever had a quest in any MMO ever.
Burning right. Crusade actually changed me for some reason. I don't know if it was just because I was playing WoW so long, and I was just because I was doing it so long, I was getting into it, but mm-hmm. I read everything in Burning Crusade.
I do have a hard time. In even the most compelling game, I will even admit, in Bioshock, there was quite a bit of Bioshock where I had to go back and listen to the a lot of the recordings again because I realized I was just, I was like sort of listening. And this is a world that was actually really well done. But even in that game, I found it hard to focus entirely on the story and not just want to, you know...
Well, usually shoot when stuff. You're listening to stuff, there's probably something around the corner ready to kill you. Right. It's easy to, like, get a little distracted.
Well, yeah. I found myself... I so wanted to follow this... Actually, that's a good point. Bioshock's the only game where I actually did want to follow the story. The only time I clicked on the recordings and stuff was when I was hacking a computer, you know, hacking a system or something.
Yeah.
So I have a question about Hellgate, which has nothing to do with its quests or storyline.
Okay, go for it.
It has randomly generated dungeons, right?
Yes. I mean, there are main hub areas, mm-hmm. and then, you know, shooting off that, you'll have a different way to explore and different creatures populating it afterwards.
Okay, because that was one of my problems with, like, you know, Diablo and those kind of games, is the fact that everything's randomly generated, and not designed. To me, there's like this very distinct difference. You can tell when something was just randomly generated. And, you know,
well, that's
even
always trade-off.
Randomly generated well, mm-hmm. you're still like just kind of trying to fill in the map and then go down the stairs.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
So, but I heard they were trying to do some stuff in this to make that.
They were trying to tweak some variables. I mean, like I know the math of behind
it. Right.
But, I mean, they acknowledge that they don't want to have, like, two, like, tile sets that make no sense on top of each other or, like, designs that come out making just looking idiotic. Mm-hmm. So they try to create this filtering system that basically logically connects areas.
Does it come out okay?
I mean, granted, I'm only, like, level 5 or 6.
Right.
And by the way, if anyone wants to meet up with me, I am a summoner called Punky Brewster. So
nice.
Look for me.
Okay.
Pink hair, pigtails. Can't miss me.
Just like in real life.
Exactly.
I'm going to Soleil Moon fry your ass.
That's my battle cry now, officially. Oh, man. But, yeah, it's the few early dungeons I've gone through. Makes sense. I mean, it's not like amazing level design, but at the same point, going through and going, you don't realize it's randomized.
So it doesn't look like you...
It doesn't look like some slipshod, like, slapping the tiles together.
Because I have played games like, what was that EverQuest-based one on the PS2?
Champions of Norrath.
Those were, like, you could tell it was just like someone hit the randomly generate button. Mm-hmm. So, but Diablo's good. Like, that does it fine. You don't really notice that, like, until you think about it, that, hey, why was it designed like that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay, just curious.
The thing that used to always sort of bother me about Diablo and Diablo 2, and I never knew if it was my problem or the game's problem, was I would put the transparent map overlay on, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then I found myself just watching that.
Well, right, you're playing
not
like
the
Atari
actual dungeon.
Version. Right.
I was never looking at the dungeon itself.
At that point, you might as well be playing Rogue.
Like, I would switch it off because I'd like, man, I really should, like, be looking at the game and not just the overlay of the game.
I mean, it's kind of the realization I had with, like, Supreme Commander is that I was spending all my time in dot mode.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, all of this power for what?
I have really liked that in Bioshock that I've not felt compelled to bring the map up that often.
Probably because the map is really confusing.
Well, the map is confusing. That's
like,
true.
With the arrows connecting all... With the
I mean, it makes sense if you start, like, sitting there and putting it together, but...
I've had more fun just kind of exploring it.
There's enough landmarks that, like, I never really found I needed it. Like, I felt I knew which direction I was going. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember passing through this particular icy hallway in order to get to this thing.
The only thing that I think that I would have done if I was, like, working on the game that could have been kind of interesting is, did you guys play The Darkness at all?
I did, but then I stopped.
Okay, well, at any point in the game, they have these, like, it takes place in New York, and they have these city maps. So you actually can walk up to a map at any time, and it'll say you're here. And instead of having to call up a map and say, here's something, I think it'd be kind of cool to just... It seems like every other part of that game was so, like, ingrained into the world. Mm. Like, that one last bit would have been pretty cool.
Hmm. Or maybe they could have just put the map in the corner where it doesn't bug you, and you can always see it.
I mean, that's a convention I kind of want to... Personally, it's very helpful, but at the same point, it kind of distracts from the game world, pulls you out of it a little. I'd almost rather just have it at logical places on the map, you know, on a level or something.
That makes sense. I could see
maps.
Where's a logical place on a Diablo level? You're not just going to be wandering through Gargamel's castle and it's going to be like, you are here.
Dude, did you make a Gargamel reference? Yeah. I caught that, by the way. Bonus points for anyone who knows what that's about.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
You don't know who Gargamel is?
No.
Oh,
am I out of the club? Do you know who that is, Sean?
You really don't know? I thought you were joking. It's the Smurfs villain.
Well, see, I was reading the Iliad and the Odyssey while you were watching Smurfs.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. Yes, of course.
Where you should put your monocle in when you say that.
I was probably watching SpongeBob, actually. What else do we got? You know, I was going to print out the story. I didn't. I don't know the details. But we had another great gaming hero this week over in China, where once again we had a man found dead after playing games 3 days in a row without leaving. With all due respect to him and his family, what a fucking loser.
I mean, it's a hell of an epitaph right there.
I don't know how that happens.
I mean, really?
But it happens like way too often.
Is it so?
Well, how many times does it
keep happening?
Well, it is not. Compared to the entire world, population of the world,
right, well,
maybe
it just
not so much.
Multiple times,
right?
And it always seems to happen in China.
It does. It has happened here, though. But yeah, there's something. I guess most of these stories do come out of China.
I can't imagine being so enthralled in anything that you just don't recognize your body shutting down on you.
Yeah, that's the part. That's why I'm bringing it up, because we're all hardcore gamers here. We all stay up, too late at night playing. We all have our stories, so we know what it's like to be addicted to a game. Really, to a point where we sort of know better, right? Like, don't you always get to a point where you're like, oh man, I so should quit and I just can't, and I'm going to regret it tomorrow, or I should be doing 80 other things with my life tonight, right now, instead of this, but I can't help it.
That's every day for me.
Right, yeah, so we all know that, and probably everybody listening does, but how do you get to that point?
I don't know. That's the kind of thing, like, you have to be, like...
That's beyond poop-socking. I mean, this guy, did he even, like, get up to go to the bathroom once?
Right, I don't know.
Well, the thing with, like China in particular is, like, they can't have their own World of Warcraft account at home, right? They have to go to these gaming pubs to do it. So maybe, like... Maybe it's something associated with that, where they just because they just can't play it anywhere, so they go to these gaming pubs to get their fix, and then they just don't want to leave. I don't know.
But
to the point of death.
That's absurd. But I mean, maybe that is part of the psychology that's going on there, because they can't play after they leave.
3 days. 3 days. I mean, the other thing is, like, why didn't his friends and family, like, come forcibly drag him out?
Because they were all playing on the computers next to him.
You need to come take a bath, have something to eat, and get away from this frickin' monitor.
This is the kind of thing you'd expect, like, once we're plugged into the Matrix to happen. Dying of being involved in your virtual world too much. But, like,
they're just
not that interesting right now, honestly, to make me play for 72 hours straight. Like, after, like, 5 hours, that's the end of any marathon for me.
Yeah.
I got to go outside.
Of the greatest
game.
Oh, my
God.
I think it would be great to find out if he wasn't playing World of Warcraft. If he was playing some crap like Habbo Hotel or...
Yeah. Actually, they didn't say what game he was playing.
Yeah. It'd be a Second Life, I could see.
Oh, God.
I don't know. The whole thing, just I find it very disturbing, just on a number of levels, you know, that nobody stopped him, that he didn't stop. Even the store itself, it's like a dude sitting in a bar for 3 days, like getting drunk the whole time. You know, at some point, the bartender's going to cut you off. You'd like to think that, you know, by the second day of this guy not leaving the screen, that the head of this place would be going, hey, fatso. Well, he's probably not fat, but whatever. But, you know, get the hell out. Go home. See your family, you know?
Yeah. Maybe he had a bomb in his head. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're just misinterpreting how he died.
You could be right. Uh-huh. Maybe it had nothing to do with the fact. Maybe it was perfectly healthy. Right. It was probably coincidence.
Maybe except for the bomb. He could have been going for another 2 weeks.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here because it's insane.
Okay, we'll go with that theory. He was going to die anyway.
No matter
and
where he was.
And maybe he knew that.
Yeah.
This is how he wanted to go out. He wanted to go out. Shit, if I knew I was going to die in 3 days, I'd probably hurry up to try to finish Bioshock. I mean,
seriously, would that be on the priority list?
Of course.
Sure, yeah. I might try to do a couple more things, but that'd definitely be on the list.
I gotta know how it ends.
Yeah. Oh, and Baldur's Gate 2. I'd have to finish that.
Oh, you gotta go back.
That's been on my hard disk since like 1998.
You can't die not knowing how that ends.
Yeah. I'm still on chapter 2 of that, so.
Shit, man. At this point, just go to Wikipedia.
We got a couple more champions to read about here.
We do?
Should we take a little break first? Speaking of taking a break.
Okay, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more champions. They're not heroes of the web.
No, those are different.
Because that's Sean Elliott's domain. These are champions of the web.
Champions of the world, really.
Of the world, yeah.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
3, 2, 1.
You're the best around.
Listen to EGM Live, the weekly podcast for Electronic Gaming Monthly, available every Monday for download at egmlive.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
Sweep the lake!
Sweep the lake, Johnny.
Sweep the lake!
We're back! And we're not back for long. It's a little bit of a short podcast this week, and we apologize. And no, it's not because Sean Elliott is not here. It's because we're backed up here at Studio B. Studio B. We got Legendary Thread coming in after this, which coincidentally enough includes two of us here. Actually, it would be three, Ryan, if you weren't bailing.
Oh, wow.
But you're not quite legendary.
So we're going to bring up something, a champion of the web that's actually probably going to get brought up in Legendary Thread. So you can hear it this time. You could hear it in the other podcast. Or if you don't want to hear it on either one, you can fuck off.
Press stop.
You can stop. So this went up. This news went up today. We have, let's see, who's the guy's name? The guy's name is Shax, S-H-A-K-S. He spent about 7,000 euros, which translates to about $9,700 to buy a World of Warcraft rogue character.
That's pretty sad.
Okay,
that's the worst use of $10,000 I've ever heard.
Yeah.
$10,000.
World of Warcraft character.
For a rogue, no less. It says the avatar had both legendary swords dropped by raid boss Illidan Stormrage, as well as 4/5 of tier 6 armor set.
What would you...
Oh, in that case...
What would you do with this? I mean, like, that's essentially, like, the end of the game to me.
So I guess he's just...
what do you do next?
He just wants
Is he PvPing?
He just wants to wait around.
There's a great postscript, which I got this from... did I get it from Joystick or Kotaku? I can't remember my source,
I think it was the same thing.
Joytaku.
I got this from Joytaku. Yeah, so thank you, Joytaku. Apparently, according to this site, the buyer Shax, who's on the Kazakh server, there was a speculation that his account has been banned.
Nice.
Given the publicity of the auction and Blizzard's policy against selling accounts.
Wow.
How awesome would that
be? Good job.
You just dropped 10 G's on a... on a piece of crap.
There's the useless futility of having done it in the first place, then compounded by the fact that you're now banned.
It's horrible.
$10,000, man.
That's a harsh lesson.
That guy must have a shitload of money. I could not imagine dropping 10 grand on that kind of thing. Holy cow.
I don't.
There are worlds in which I can imagine. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. In some extreme weird case, I can imagine maybe spending a little bit of money to buy a character. Maybe I can't really. I would never do it. But I suppose if you could concoct some scenario where I would go, okay, yeah, for $70, I would do that.
I'll give you a scenario.
Okay.
You're in a raid team. Mm-hmm. You're trying to do something. And you just need one more warlock. And
right.
You're like, I could level up a warlock, or I could spend $70 and then we could have our raiding warlock and do this.
That might be worth it.
Here's a scenario for you.
Right. On the same server, and then I could pass that gear along or whatever.
Or even if I couldn't.
I could still be helping our guild.
Right.
But $10,000?
I don't even know what I would spend $10,000 on if I had it. Like...
I'd buy a shaman, not a rogue. Jesus.
I kind of like one of the other suggestions from that's listed in the joystick thing.
Yeah,
or whatever, or Jotaku or whatever. It's I would go with the getting it all in pennies, putting it in a pool and swim around it like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah,
that's my personal favorite answer.
Yeah, yeah. That's almost as bad as
the guy dying. Maybe this is the guy who died. Maybe that's why he's not on.
Yeah.
He wasn't banned. He just died.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, I mean, what do you do? You just run around and show people your swords that you got from Illidan? He's like, look at these.
I paid $10,000 for these.
Look, I got a blindfold on.
I don't know what to do about that.
Way to earn your keep.
Let's see. Are there champion of the web? Ryan, are you going to share that?
Oh, we got another one.
Well, yeah.
He might be a real champion.
Actually, this guy's kind of a real champion.
He's my champion.
This guy's an idiot. Okay, so this is something I got from Slashdot.
Yeah.
And it says here, a manager at a GameStop has been suspended for instituting a Games for Grades policy. Brandon Scott, no relation, says he started a unique new policy in his store to promote good grades in school, but now his employer has sent him to detention for speaking out of turn. Scott says he's been suspended by GameStop in the wake of his unconventional Games for Grades policy at an Oak Cliff store. Apparently on his own, Scott decided to stop selling video games to any school-age customer unless an adult would vouch for the student's good grades. Like, what did this dude expect? A pat on the head?
That's right.
Good for him.
We want to sell our games to every freaking idiot in school.
He's doing his part to make America great again.
Okay.
I can't imagine this guy thought he would not get in trouble for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Corporate GameStop would go, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Don't sell to most of the youth.
Yeah. Thank you for not selling our product.
I can imagine that might work in some weird way for a mom and pop shop. But like,
yes, if it's your own store,
not a corporate.
But yeah,
it's GameStop.
I mean, I salute the guy for trying to do something for the chillins, but that was a weird way to do it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of what I feel. I'm just like, that's very noble of ye. But right. Are you surprised?
A little bit.
No, maybe he's not surprised. Maybe he just got to the point where he's just like, you know what, this isn't worth it. Seeing all of these kids suffer because what I do.
It's kind of funny. It's almost the exact opposite of the hard sell they usually go through.
What kids are suffering?
Huh?
Kids are suffering for what this guy's doing? Whatever.
No, this guy's an idiot. Yeah, I can see why he did it. You know, he's got to deal with these dumbasses coming in every day.
He just feels responsibility for the world.
That's right.
He had a moment of clarity where he was just like,
he's probably sick
this is what because I'm doing of what I'm doing.
Life. Right.
He's probably just sick of all those goddamn moms who go and drop their kids off like a daycare.
Yeah.
He wants to get him the hell out of there. So he's like, you ain't buying.
There are many possible motives for this.
I don't know.
I agree with Sean. That's probably what it was. He woke up one morning. He was like, oh my God, what do I do?
He's like, this is what I meant to do in life.
Yes. Don't you do that here with this magazine?
I'm not going to judge.
Don't you go home at night and go like, man, I'm not out there, you know, building schools for kids in Tibet. I'm here writing about video games.
And that's awesome.
Aha.
Screw those kids in Tibet.
We see where he's coming from now.
Yeah. No, not the greatest idea. He should probably just, in his day job, sold the shitty games to the kids and then gone home and done some bomb.
I don't know what his motive was. If his motive was to keep his job, he's an idiot. If his motive was something else, then hey, cool. Maybe that's just how he wanted to go out.
Uh-huh. It'd be nice if, like, GameStop itself instituted a policy like that. You know, we will not sell you Halo 3 unless you can prove that you have a 3.6.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. total tangent.
You're going to get some hate mail for that.
Fuck you, Mr. Green. I'm buying the game. I have a 2.0. What are you going to do about it?
Kids don't have 2.0s, do they?
Do they?
Well, they have letter grades.
If that policy had been issued when I was in school, I never would have played a video game.
Aha. Uh-huh. I do consider a high GPA to be a sign that you are not qualified to work in the games industry, because that tells me you were spending way too much time being a good kid in school and not enough time screwing around in video games. I feel that's a bad precedent.
Either that, or you have too much of a social life.
You know, you once told me that in relation to me, and I don't know if you were kidding or not.
I won't tell you my GPA.
I'm only... Oh, you got like a 4.0. I know, because you're so good. Right?
I won't tell you.
Damn apple polisher.
I had good grades up till college. And then when I got to college, I realized it didn't matter anymore. So I got really, really good at Missile Command.
I had good grades until like fifth grade when I moved back to California.
Actually, I had bad grades up until college.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, bad grades until college.
Yeah.
And then good grades at college?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. I actually started paying attention.
Did you just tell the kids that college doesn't matter, Jeff?
Yeah, I think I kind of did do that. Yeah, yeah.
All right, just checking.
That's right. So if you want to get a job in the game industry, forget college. Forget.
Remember that class story I told about the, you know, the getting away from the skeletons in Europe? That's why. See, education's overrated. I'm just saying, if you want a career in video game journalism, say, you know, don't be sending me a resume with 4.0s, because that's an immediate you're out. I don't want to see that shit. I want to see 2.0s and some high score screens.
I want screen caps.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
I'm sending all the wrong messages today.
Awesome.
What else do we got?
That's all.
Isn't there one other awesome thing to talk about?
Well, there's the, let me see, the Halo 3 hype. I'm so sick and tired of that.
No, we're not talking about Halo 3. Not on this podcast, yeah. We're not. No, sir.
Never mind. Forget that.
No, sir.
Here.
Not on
my
Halo
3?
Screw it.
Never heard of it.
No, the only reason I bring it up is I was watching Discovery Channel last night, and it's gotten to the point, they have that damn game promoted everywhere.
Yep.
I mean, future weapons, according to Halo 3, I mean, who gives a crap?
No way, really?
Seriously.
Wow. Discovery Channel did like a scientific expose
that's
on
awesome.
Halo 3
Well,
weapons.
That's some great marketing by Microsoft.
Seriously,
right there.
It's everywhere. Yeah. There's a... Mountain Dew, there's Slurpees, there's... Mm-hmm.
They did have that great commercial.
We've been roped into talking about
it.
Oh,
shit.
And here we are, we're talking about it.
All right, forget it, sorry.
Well, hey, you know what, apparently...
I'll tell you what, I got nothing against Halo.
I'm still going to play the game.
I'm going to play it, too. And let's make that clear, because there's people who listen to this podcast, and we know there's more people now who listen who don't play PC games at all. They're console gamers, and we are not bagging on. Yeah, well, yes, we are bagging on it.
I'm bagging
on
the market.
We're going to play it too. Like
I'm just bagging on. Like I'm tired of seeing the marketing everywhere. Okay, I'm going to play the game. I get it.
Well, the hype is definitely
for me. Right, it's like hype to quality ratio is way off for that game.
But isn't that how it always is these days? And just in life.
Yeah,
and I haven't played Halo 3. Maybe Halo 3 specifically is awesome, but given Halo 1 and 2, really, really good games, but. Come on.
Yep.
So apparently the ending got leaked over the internet.
I have heard that.
Master Chief dies. No, I don't
thanks.
Know. I don't
yeah.
know. I
Master didn't... Chief is Voldemort.
Thanks. Actually, Mrs. Weasley kills Master Chief.
That's my signature now.
a private message on Xbox Live last night from a guy who told me that the Halo 3 ending got leaked. I don't know why he was telling me that.
They're going to play it smooth like Metroid and reveal that Master Chief's really a woman.
You think?
That'd be really funny.
Why would that be funny, Ryan?
I don't know, because then all these like... Well,
is it funny to you that a hero could be a woman?
Well, in that case, hell yeah, it is.
I want to see Ryan squirm out of this.
All the super macho, like, oh yeah, Halo, guys. They'll be like, oh my God, my idol was a woman this whole time.
I've been a woman the whole time. Yeah, that's what they'll have to think. That would be awesome.
I feel so confused inside.
That'd be awesome.
I'm all for that.
So we'll all be playing that.
I won't.
You're not going to play
Halo 3? Yeah, you don't play any first-person
shooters. Oh, yeah, that's right, because you don't play.
You don't count.
Right. You don't play anything.
Yeah, I do.
You didn't even try Bioshock, did you? Didn't even try it.
I have it at home. I haven't
well, you didn't try it.
Oh, you have it at home. That's mm-hmm. great.
Oh, that, yeah. Uh-huh. That's just dandy.
Is it out of the shrink wrap even?
Great. Don't answer
you took
that.
A sealed box home. Wow.
It's a first step. It's a slow migration.
Huh. I should read some of the classics that way.
Yeah.
Yes, I bought War and Peace.
I read the Dust
That's
Jacket.
How I read a lot of them, actually. Oh, yeah, I have Bartleby.
I read the Cliff Notes, and I read the liner notes on it.
I started playing Gradius 5 last night. That was pretty cool.
What?
What?
What? You asked
Not
me,
Bioshock.
You said I don't play
That's
anything.
A shooter.
I just said I played Gradius 5.
That is a classic shooter.
Yeah, it is.
Why are you playing that?
Because it's awesome. Because I just got around
I
to it.
I can't argue with that logic.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
You win.
I don't know what to make of you, Ryan Scott.
Yeah. Someday we're going to have to dissect your brain live on the show. While you're still conscious.
Okay.
That cool. will make some great podcast radio.
It'll be
yeah. alien.
Ow!
Alien autopsy.
Stop.
The hell?
Okay.
Okay, I think we've wound down to a sad close. We've got Damian Lynn, the estimable Damian Lynn waiting outside. The inimitable.
Yes, that's what he is.
The something. Just,
waiting to join us for Legendary Thread. So we're going to be out. We'll be back next week. Are we going to be back next week?
Well,
I sure think so.
Unless they shut us the
hell
down.
I think that'd be great.
That'd be great. We'll be back next week, probably with Sean Elliott in tow to give us his Seattle report. And the rest of us talking about nothing, I guess. Hey, did you guys see that Locke won an Emmy from Lost?
I heard that from you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Isn't that news. Exciting?
Nerd
it random, if it wasn't
random,
an Emmy.
Random nerd news.
You know what? It's a victory for nerds everywhere. Were any of the other Lost guys up for it?
Yes. What's his face?
Ben?
Ben was up for
it. With all due respect to Locke, had Ben not win that?
I was pulling for Ben and not Locke, I have to say.
Was Desmond on there?
No, it was just those two guys.
No, brother.
But Locke thanked, or he, you know, he acknowledged Ben when he got his award.
Nice.
Also, he was rocking the like pink silk shirt there. That Locke, he's so badass, he can wear a pink silk shirt and not you know look stupid in it. So that was a geek hero.
Can we just
moment.
Talk about the Emmys for a second?
I guess we just
we did. I'm sorry. I just was thinking about like what can we talk about when Sean's not here.
Oh, I guess the Emmys would be one.
That would definitely be it. Oh, before I forget, I just want to throw out a quick thanks to all listeners that put their support up on the forums.
Yeah.
That was really cool of everyone. That was.
Thank you very much. We will not fish for love again.
Well, we might in a week or two.
We might.
Yeah.
But if you want to guess, let us know. On
especially
the
after this podcast, I'm not going to fish for love. Say what? What did you say?
I said, but if you like us, let us know on the forums.
No, that's what we're not doing. Yeah, that got up to 21 pages.
I stopped at about 19.
That was very nice of y'all.
So. Well, let's see if we can get it going to 50 pages.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Bring it on. No, we do appreciate it, you know.
No tote bags.
We're here doing our jobs, muddling along. It's nice to hear from you people. It warms our hearts.
And, one last thing before I forget.
Yeah.
The GFW Fupa Troopers. Troopas.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking of doing this group for Esteem so we could all get together. And,
are you
know,
thinking of doing it, or are you actually doing it?
I've actually done it, but okay. I don't have a proper mascot yet, so no. There's no image. It's a very generic page right now, but
okay. Please spell it.
Fupa and then Troopas.
All right, and if folks want to find the Fupa Troopas, where should they?
It's there's a Steam community page with it.
Okay.
GFW Fupa.
Join us.
Be
one of us.
I can't join that.
You can't join
that? No, I can't join that. I'm
all
sorry.
Right, Sean Malloy won't be part of the Fupa Troopas.
To be honest with you, I was torn about whether or not I was actually going to like set this thing up. So I just put it together as a joke the other night. And already there's like 20 people who signed up to it. I'm like, well, I guess I'm committed now.
Yeah, I had some chuckleheads in Xbox Live were laughing at my Fupa tag in Call of Duty 4 last night. But I didn't know if they were laughing because they heard it from our podcast or if that was just their own thing.
Well, couldn't they tell that it belonged to the gamertag CGW Jeff?
Oh, that's true. I need to change my gamertag.
You can do that now.
Yeah, but don't I have to pay? Like but no, it's not real money. It's Microsoft points.
You don't have to pay for that.
It's gumballs.
It's like $5.
Really?
Like 800 Microsoft points
That's
or whatever.
Bullshit.
Or, I
don't
know. Yeah, welcome to Microsoft.
Ugh.
Why let it's people do for free what you can monetize? You'd like to breathe? That'll be a dime.
Click for every breath.
Just kidding. I love you guys at Microsoft listening to our podcast from your official magazine.
We love you.
Love you.
Love you much.
Kisses.
Hugs.
Anytime I could get a raise, that'd be great. Mr. Kate, sir. Okay, we're out. We'll see you next week.
Halo 3 sucks.